receive the free bowel screening test kit. Don't put it off. If you're aged between 50 and 74, take the kit to the bathroom and get to it. It's the free test that could save your life.
Guys, we need to talk about a massive night last night for Aussie TV.
Stop it, Tim.
It's happened. It's over. I enjoyed watching. It was quite nostalgic. Yeah. And, of course, they got many people back. Jason Donovan, Kylie Minogue, Guy Pearce. But those that couldn't come back or wouldn't come back, they very cleverly, because it was Toadie was getting married, had a little sort of people giving messages via video, including people like Margot Robbie, wow, etc.
Some of our old neighbours who couldn't be here have sent you some messages.
Have an amazing wedding day, Toadie. And I love you guys so much.
Hi, Melanie. I don't know either of you.
We only just met each other.
Hi, everyone. It's Nina here. I'm so sorry I can't be with you today, but I'm with you wholeheartedly in spirit.
Aww. Yeah, Delta was there.
And also, I mean, they could have just played some of the wedding messages from Toadie's previous three weddings.
Yes. They didn't want to bring up bad memories of former wives that have passed away. But of course,
someone who's going to be really suffering this morning, and we thought we'd better check in with our friend Tom Marlowe. It's Neighbours super fan for Australia. How are you this morning, Tom?
Oh, good morning. I think I'm still recovering from last night. We live in a post-Neighbours world now.
It'll never be the same again.
Wasn't it beautiful, though, Tom? I thought the producers did a very good job. They knew that we would want that level of nostalgia, that we wanted to revisit the greats in it, and it felt really, I got a bit teary.
Yeah, and I think when we first spoke a few months ago now, when the show was announced that it was going to be axed, we were sort of saying, you know, how do they do it? And that was on everyone's mind. How can they wrap up 38 years of stories and history? And of course, you know, in a soap, you don't, the characters that had been there all along haven't really had that character arc where they have ended. It's always just been ongoing stuff. So how do you do it? But I think they just did a perfect job, and they, you know, people tuned in last night that probably haven't watched it since the 80s, and they, you know, it was still the same people on the street. And yeah, it was just filled with nostalgia, and it was a really happy and uplifting send-off, I think. It was just perfect.
I agree with you, Tom. I think it was quite tasteful, and I guess some of us were fearful that they might go for, oh my God, what's that in the sky?
It's a meteorite. We're all going to be wiped out. Yeah, that's what we were worried about.
It was. It was very simple. It was. Yeah, I liked it.
Tom.
And I think that's what Neighbours is. It's about, it is sort of that nostalgia and that tapestry of memories. You know, that's what living on a street is in a cul-de-sac. And it didn't lose that last night, which was really nice.
Living on the streets in a cul-de-sac, not the same living on the streets. But what did you think of Kylie Minogue and Jason Donovan returning and their too good to go down and see the rest
balcony
of the plebs down on the street to just perform from the balcony?
Well, I've seen a lot of people saying, you know, oh, you know, there was only a few lines from them. But in a way, I kind of think that was good because they were made because of the show. They didn't make the show.
Yes. Yeah.
And they hadn't been there for so long. So it would have been a disservice, I think, to then focus so much on them and just ignore the current cast that have put in decades. I mean, they were there for however many years. But the show wasn't about them. So it was nice. It was great that they were back. It was a beautiful touch of nostalgia, but it shouldn't have been all about them, and it wasn't. So it was nice.
Yeah, it was. It was very well done.
And now I'm just waiting for someone to give Jackie Woodburn, Susan Kennedy, the most astounding acting role yet to come. She's got more to show. I love that one.
Oh, she does. And I think even if you haven't watched the show religiously like me, honestly, if you had a camera in my living room last night when she did that little monologue, it was not pretty. But I think you could be any person who's just heard of Neighbours, and just the way that she wrapped it up so beautifully and how she said she's home at the end. Oh, that last word. She's yeah, she's an icon. She deserves the world, I reckon.
Oh, good on you, Tom. Well, I hope you can find another show to follow at some point, but you need to grieve first. So you take care of yourself, man.
Thank you. I know. Yeah, I need a lot of grieving, I think.
He's one of Australia's funniest blokes who once held a Guinness World Record for the most jokes told in an hour. Get your stopwatches ready, people. It's Limo. Hey!
Hey! Hey! Oh, you beauty. Tim, Matt and Kimber, yes. A joy to be with you on this Friday morning.
How are you, bud?
Yeah, good. It's got a nice ring to it, hasn't Tim, Matt and Kimber?
It does.
Pete know? Doesn't
don't
he know you
Pete.
Don't take it? You don't take a day off in showbiz, Pete.
Yeah, danger.
Yeah, he wouldn't normally. We made him stay home. He looked like he was getting sniffly, and we were like, stop coming any closer. Ooh, yes. Go home.
I tell you what, here's a tip from me. Don't sneeze or cough on a plane. Oh. I tell you what, you've never seen 200 heads turn quicker than they cough on a plane.
They really turn on you, don't they? Wherever you are, shopping centre, no matter what, you do not sneeze.
It is like a gunshot these days.
Yeah.
Hey, now, guys, I want to talk about my son, if I can.
Please. Oh, he's so cute. Of course he can.
Oh, thank you, Kimber. He's adorable. Well, he's had a big week. It was his birthday on Tuesday.
Oh, how old is he?
He turned six.
Yeah. That's a big one. That's a big one.
Yeah.
That's like turning 21 when you're a kid, isn't it?
Yeah. It really is. Now he's got such a spring in his step. He's such a big boy now that he's six. But a couple of potential issues popped up on his birthday. One, now we've got a party for him on the weekend, okay? Mm-hmm. But my wife and I, we said to him, well, what do you want to do tonight for your birthday night? Should we cook dinner here at home and get you a cake? And he says, nah, can we have dinner at the pub? Like, yeah. Okay. Might be a little issue with our parenting there. And then when we were at the pub, the people we know at the pub brought a cake out from the kitchen and the staff at the pub sang happy birthday to him.
Aww.
So, I don't know. Does that mean that is that too familiar, that territory, for a six-year-old?
No, but I certainly hope that you were getting discounts as well, like the under-12s menu, or at the very least,
yes.
You know, cheaper something.
Indeed. Oh, no, we get good service. We get good service, and they're happy to babysit from time to time.
You're creating a well-rounded human being, buddy. As a kid, I was able to put my dad's bets on by about 5 or 6, so, and look at me now.
You're kicking goals all
kicking
over the
goals.
Place.
Kicking goals, yeah.
I love it. Now, the second issue is this one. And we really, because it's, as you say, Matt, it's a big one, six.
Mm.
So we spoiled him, right? We gave him some Star Wars Lego.
Oh.
A fireman costume, right? And a dragon jigsaw, right? We thought that's a pretty big day out for the 6-year-old.
Mm.
So we've given him those three. He was very excited by the presents. But a friend of ours came around and gave him a fourth present, right? Yeah. A whoopee cushion.
Oh.
What do you reckon he spent the whole week playing with?
Oh, does he have no idea you remortgaged your house to buy Lego?
Yeah, exactly.
No clue.
And he has not let go of the whoopee cushion all week. He thinks it's the single greatest invention that mankind has ever delivered.
It is. I mean, I can't think of a better piece of comic property.
But I'm glad he had a good day on his birthday, though, because we did Auskick, the final Auskick of the year, and I'll finish on this one for you guys. He's not really a get-in-and-get-the-footy type of kid, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's just not. He's more stand on the outside and just watch what happens kind of kid. So all year I've been trying to tell him to get in there and get the ball. Finally, the final Auskick last Saturday, they're just playing the game, and I went up to him, I gave him a little pep talk. I said, mate, just get in there and grab the ball and just run and kick a goal. He goes, yeah, all right, Dad. So I pick up my phone. I start filming. Now, have a look. This is actual audio from Auskick last week. You hear my voice yell out to him. The lady's voice you hear is the umpire in the game.
Okay.
This is what happened.
Oh, get it, lad.
JJ did it. JJ's got it. No, lady. Wrong way, buddy, wrong way.
Wrong way. Go this way, lad.
This way. No.
No. Hey, lad. Well done, mate. Good stuff.
He kicked the goal for the opposition.
Did he?
That was super cute. And you still backed him in and told him what a great job
good
he'd
effort.
Done.
Oh, yes.
Look, I still high-fived him, but that better not continue once he's seven, I'll tell you that.
Now, guys, I told you not so long ago that I started home grooming my dog, McGruff.
You did, yes.
And because he'd gone to a groomer for a long time, and she just said that he was becoming a bit difficult. He was just starting to be a bit restless, and I think it was a bit frustrating for her, and I didn't want it to take most of her afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know what, let's just get a grooming kit. We'll do it ourselves. Turns out I'm rubbish at that. And
oh, hard.
Well, you know, because the clippers, they're like dog clippers, but they don't, basically McGruff is like shearing a sheep. Yeah. He's a Pomeranian, he's double coated, it's like having this kind of like duck down underneath, and it won't go through it. So I've been basically, every time he just sort of walks past or sits still next to me for long enough, I just sort of get him with a bit of some
one
scissors.
Stroke.
Well, just a bit of like, just cut with some scissors. So he's been sporting for the last week or two, basically. It looks like he's wearing like a Lego Man helmet or something similar. And I finally went, I need to find somewhere for him to go. So yesterday I booked him into a new groomer for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like it's not a big deal, but actually when I did my research, gee, it was hard to find. Like, okay. There are some pet groomers out there that sound like they might be cowboys.
Okay.
And so I was like, I want to be very specific in getting the right place. So I was a bit nervous, dropped him off. You go back and get him 3 hours later. So I go back and I pick
him.
3 hours?
Oh, my God.
I know, right? It's a proper session.
Yeah.
But I suppose it takes him a while to, you know, have him on rotation. Who knows? but I go to pick him up and he comes out and, well, he looks amazing.
Okay.
Right? Like, it is a really good groom. They have done an exceptional job. I mean, he looks so smooth and so sleek, and mm-hmm. I've not seen it cut like this before. It looks so good. And put him in the car, and I was like, I was so happy. He walked out and I was like, thanks, you know, we'll be back again and this is great. And I was so happy, got him home. And as soon as he ran into the yard, I saw something on him that I've never noticed before on previous grooms.
Oh.
And that's because they've really, really cleaned up the butthole.
Oh, really? He's got a
now,
lovely...
Because he's a fluffy dog, it's yes. always been covered.
Uh-huh.
So you don't really see it, right? And he's quite a clean dog. I've never had to worry about dealing with his business.
Yes.
But many dogs who have that kind of coat do have a problem with that. So
yes.
I think they just do a really nice designer cut where they do it really neatly, but it's so exposed that it's making me uncomfortable. Because he's a black dog. And the only thing you see, because he's got his tail up on top of his back all the time. And so all you can see is this giant butthole staring at you. And I don't know now. I'm like, next time I go back, do I go, hey, just let it grow over a bit? Or cover it a bit. It's so perfectly trimmed. It's impressive.
Okay.
Impressive, but overwhelming.
Well, I've heard that a few times.
What a week, what a week, what a week, what a busy old week. The week in Perth, yeah.
Oh, what a week. And Tim, thank you for helping us out.
Oh, thanks, guys. It's always a pleasure hanging out with you guys. I hope I've been okay.
And you might have to come back. We don't know how long Pete's planning this vacation that he's taking.
Well, I was going to say, maybe my song should have been an ode to Tim. But mate, if you're still here next week, maybe I can do
that. Okay, please do. Thank you.
This week, of course, there's lots of stories going around, but of course, the Commonwealth Games has opened in Birmingham, and I know I'll probably end up watching a lot of this stuff.
Yeah,
because I just kind of like watching things that I don't always see, like 3-on-3 basketball.
Yeah, that's going to be
court.
Different. Yeah,
weird, right? Lawn bowls, all that sort of stuff. But I do kind of laugh at the Commonwealth Games because, as I said earlier this morning, it's basically the Poms, the Canadians, and us beating up on all the little countries and going,
oh,
we're awesome!
I hope we don't jinx it.
So it's all about the Commonwealth Games.
It is my pleasure to declare the Commonwealth Games open.
Almost every 4 years, places England invaded. Gather for these Commonwealth Games. Countries like Uganda, Sri Lanka and Botswana will make their way to Birmingham to play. So all stand for the band Duran Duran. This gig will supplement their pensions.
Come on, Ariane! Get there! Come on, go! She's got a world record for Ariane Titmus!
Nothing says Australia like winning in the swimming, especially when we're not against the Yanks. Or the Chinese, or the French, the Russians, or the Germans. Basically, gold medals we can bank. Surely we'll smash countries like Fiji. These calm games, let's Aussies stroke their egos.
Oh,
beautiful.
Very nice, Maddie.
There you go. Go Australia.
I really hope they do well now.
Me too.
Game day is made electric this footy season at Crown.
Alan, unbelievable!
And right now, with Pete, Matt and Kimba, it's our very own West Coast Eagle.
Can you believe this?
Please welcome Oscar Allen.
Oh, yes.
Oscar!
Welcome. All stand, all stand.
Run. Oh, hang on, you know, there we
hang
are.
On, hang on.
Hang on,
mate.
Hang
are you there?
Oh, no, we lost him. He hang was on, there.
Mate. Here we go. Are you there?
Are we back?
Oh,
there we are. Good morning, everyone. How are we?
Good, buddy. Good. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks. Enjoying the cold weather.
Oh, is this your time to shine?
It is. Actually, yesterday was a beautiful day, so I've been out on the track a little bit, and yesterday was lovely and had a nice, beautiful run in the sunshine. Thought I could get used to this, and the fellas are flying off to the Gold Coast tomorrow, and it's actually some wet weather coming over there, and I thought, well, I might have nailed this. It might be beautiful over here, but all of a sudden, it's changed very quickly.
Now, before we get on to the football, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this, but I went to drama school.
Oh, once or twice.
So I know good acting when I see it, and can I say to you guys, I don't know if you've seen it yet, but I have witnessed the greatest eating of a burger without actually taking a bite acting from you, Oscar. You deserve an Oscar for your Hungry Jack's ad.
So I saw this on the weekend. It was actually playing on the side of the screen, and I'm supposed to pretend to be doing a little bit of coaching at the time, and I'm on the ground during the game, and I look up and see it, and I go, oh my God, no, it's finally made out. I thought it was never going to, but that is that real eating of a burger, believe it or not.
Really?
They made you take a couple bites, and they had a huge bin next door because they had about 40 burgers, and they wanted to keep taking another take, and it was good to see the one they used. They left a bit of sauce on my
face
as well, which was awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was me and Gaffy went and did it in Adelaide one time, we were away.
So it was method acting, you actually ate the burger.
Yeah, I thought I'd fully commit to it.
I mean, you take the bite and then you have to put it in the bin because, I mean, what are the skin folds after you've eaten 40 burgers?
Yeah, not great. I tell you what, it's good to, when you talk about cravings, good to get rid of them. So do that filming session and then I didn't want to touch one for a couple of weeks, but well and truly passed that
now. I tried that by nailing that packet of Tim Tams that our producers brought in this morning, but that hasn't seemed to stop the craving at all.
Yeah, it's funny that 7:10, the first thing I've eaten all day is a Tim Tam, so it's off to a great start.
Hey, mate, I guess, you know, we'll talk about the footy. As you say, they're off to Metricon, the boys, to play the Gold Coast. And is Nick Nat back?
He is.
Wow, that's great
news. Yeah, so he trained well yesterday and believe he's been named, so by all reports he'll be over there, which is terrific. I mean, he's a really important player for us, and then we've got a couple of other players coming back as well, and because we play on Sunday, the final team will come out tonight. So I'm actually not too sure who's on the airport. We get a list of 26 or 27 guys, and we do the old sit around the change room and try and predict who's going to be playing as well. So they'll fly off this afternoon and hopefully get a win over there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, I'm excited about this. How have you been going? How are your spirits okay? Like, because, you know, if you need us to go down to the Subiaco Common here and just sort of like, you know, shout, Oscar, and like, whoa, goal, and like yell at you and get you excited and play, we will.
Yeah,
we'll train.
I love that. No, I've been going really well. I think it was funny enough, once I got the confirmation that my season was probably over, it probably made things easier because I could focus on what was next for me, and well, the next thing I need to do is get my body right to be able to train. So I've done that, and now the next thing is, how do I get my body right for December or November when we'll start training for pre-season, because pretty keen to get through that uninterrupted to have a good year next year. So there's always silver linings, and I've found some different ways to do it this year.
Well, everyone's keen for you to get back on the track, buddy, but the silver lining is that we now know you're probably one of the country's best actors.
Yeah, now I've got a future in acting as well, so I was just broadening out my horizons for life after footy.
Good on you, brother.
Guys, it is National Lasagna Day. No one's more excited than us.
You should have tasted my lasagna. Hey, you don't like a lasagna. That's okay too. How about the calzone?
Absolutely love a lasagna.
Oh, lasagna.
It's so good. And National Lasagna Day, that's all you have to do on National Lasagna Day. The way you celebrate it, apparently, is just to eat lasagna.
That's
show your respect for the dish by eating it.
You want a little bit of history?
Yeah.
The first transcribed text about lasagna appeared in 1282. Ooh. In the Memorale Bolognese, or the Bolognese Memorials.
They've got a memorial for everything.
Yeah, don't they? So 1282, but you had something interesting to say about
that. Yeah, because I thought that I'd heard that they didn't have tomatoes. The Europeans hadn't seen
gone
tomatoes at that point.
Yet, yeah.
So what were they putting in the dish?
The tin stuff.
But in the 13th century.
We're missing a key player on this day.
Yeah.
I mean, Pete should be here.
Pete, we know, but Pete's sick, and yesterday we're like, well, that's okay. We'll what we'll do is we'll just get in touch with Pete's mum.
Yep.
Because, you know, Mama T, she'll be like totally keen to talk to us.
Yep.
And she will tell us the secret recipe to making the best lasagna.
Because every family would have their own little bit that they do that's different.
Yeah. Everything. And she will absolutely share it with us because the way we see it, we share parents.
Mm-hmm.
We're family.
We are family.
Yeah.
We share parents, and we thought we'll just give her a call. But if Pete hasn't been the shonkiest shonkster, he's keeping his mum's phone number from us.
He won't let us speak to her.
He's stopping us from getting in touch with his mum, saying, I don't think she wants to reveal her recipe.
Yeah, she won't be up yet. Yeah,
she's not going to be awake yet. Oh, no, but he's really holding out on us. So we can't trust him anymore, and now we have to turn to the mixed fam instead.
Yeah. I mean, she's a lovely lady, but she's not Colonel Sanders. It's not 11 secret herbs and spices.
Maybe
is it?
There is. I don't know.
What makes your lasagna so damn special? Your lasagna's got something going on that's amazing. I've got to say, I love my sister-in-law's lasagna.
Okay.
And she makes it with something that I would never have expected. And this might be against lasagna day. I don't even know.
Okay.
She makes it with mountain bread. You know that really thin mountain bread, the square pieces of like pita, but not. They're like so flat. There's nothing going on.
Right, okay.
They're like a piece of paper.
Not fond of them, really.
She uses those instead of lasagna sheets, and it's amazing. Oh. And when you eat it, you would have no idea that it's not lasagna sheets.
Really?
No idea.
Does that mean you get more layers?
Well, it's also less calories.
Oh, okay.
Because mountain bread's really, like, you know, people only know mountain bread because they use it when they're dieting.
Yes, that's right. And lasagna is all about the calories. I've just read the Memorale Bolognese from 1282, and they don't mention mountain bread.
No.
No.
I dare say. Alex in Queens Rock, what makes your lasagna so dang good?
Morning, guys. Maple syrup.
Maple syrup?
Oh, okay. So how much of that is going in?
Just a splash.
A splash of maple syrup. Yeah. Well, look, I mean, certainly sugar goes into, you know, your bolognese sauce, so that's obviously sugar.
That kind of takes the tartness out of the tomatoes, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Okay. Mm.
But that sounded like I knew what I was talking about for a moment.
It really did, yeah. Greg's in Clarkson. Greg, come on, mate. What's the secret to your great lasagna?
It's just my nan's old recipe, and she would take a few shallots in and cut them in half and put them in her bechamel sauce.
Okay, yes, I've heard that.
As she boiled it up. And then when she served it, she'd take about 6 egg yolks and beat them up and pour them over the top.
Oh, really?
Okay. And so that just gives it that little crispy bit, does it?
Well, no, it was as she served it, so it was kind of runny, not quite cooked egg. So it was this whole different texture on top of your lasagna.
Wow, okay. Which would sort of half cook as with the heat of the lasagna, I guess.
Wow.
That sounds sort of creepy to me, but I think I'm a bit sensitive about eggs.
Yeah, and it also, it does sound like an appointment with the cardiologist, doesn't it?
Shannon, in Tapping, tell us what makes your lasagna so good.
Hello. My ingredients aren't super original, but it's the quantity. 1 teaspoon of sugar and 2 teaspoons of chili flakes. It can't be any more and any less.
Oh, okay. Specific. It's not just throwing in a pinch and you're getting it right every time.
That's right. Straight from an Italian nonna and lives are changed.
It is, but honestly, we joke about it. But when you nail a lasagna, it doesn't matter how simple the dish is. It is one of those things that you're like, I'm pretty proud of that.
And you know what?
Absolutely.
As Shannon's alluding to there, occasionally I'll go off-piste on a recipe and it never works.
No.
It's
no.
never as good as the recipe.
Stick with what Nonna says. Okay. Thanks, Shannon.
Annie is in Wanneroo. What makes your lasagna so special, Annie?
Vegemite.
Oh,
I've heard this. How does it go in and where is it going?
When you're cooking the mince and the onion and that up and the garlic, just put it in there, about a teaspoon and a half, depending on your quantity.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's like stock, right? Vegemite.
Yeah, exactly.
Just gives it a little extra punch.
You don't have to worry about putting salt in if you're putting your Vegemite in. So, it gives it a bit of an Aussie kick, doesn't it?
An Aussie lasagna. I love it. Good on you, Annie.
Now, how do we get a lasagna at 10 to 7 in the morning? Where are we going to go?
Annie, you feel like cooking one up and driving it down here, do you?
Mine, I'm at work.
Oh, damn.
Thank you, Annie. And of course,
thanks, Mix Fam.
Yeah.
Receive the free bowel screening test kit. It's the free test that could save your life. Mix 94.5.